I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob. This is podcast number 68. It's February 16, 2015. Today we continue with the call of Isaiah, a prophet of God who lived in Judah about 2,700 years ago. We're investigating the situation that surrounded his call. All of this that you and I might investigate our own call today, because God needs men today. I was talking about the King Uzziah. It says in the year that King Uzziah died. Well, who was this king? As I said, he was a king that reigned for a long time. And while he sought the Lord, he prospered. But like his dad that we talked about yesterday, he got strong-headed, forgot about God, got proud. One thing that he did that was particularly offensive to God was to try to do the priest's work. The priests were under Levi, Aaron and Moses and people like that were in that tribe, and they were to do those sorts of things. The Aaronic priesthood ended at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus. The priesthood now is, of course, for all believers. There is no special class among the church of priests, for those who may not know that. But he desired, you know, if you've ever seen in the Old Testament how the priests were dressed, they were the special clothes that they wore that were made especially by God for them. They ordained that they wear these special clothes, and just all the vestments that they had were so beautiful. And you can imagine perhaps the king looking at this from day to day, wondering, why can't I have that too? I've got the kingship. I'm powerful. I'll just take that. He goes into the temple to do some priest's work. The priests are in awe. They're shocked, and they tell him, get out of here. When they say that to him, he gets angry. And when he gets angry at the priests of God who were there rightfully, leprosy breaks out on his forehead, according to the story. He gets out. He does get out at that point. He's a leper, in fact, until his death. So bad was his health that his son had to be co-regent with him until the time of his death. And so Judah is headed down because the king is headed down. Isn't it true that when you get the wrong leader in a nation, the nation can take a turn the wrong way? And if the people get used to the wrong way and like the wrong way, they'll choose another leader that's evil. Now, in these days, it was God doing the choosing, and he chose through one son after the other. It was a dynasty, a God-ordained dynasty in the tribe of Judah. The people did go down, however, and evil proliferated throughout that kingdom. 52 years Uzziah had been the king. The nation got used to him being the king. He had a rare longevity, but he died. He died. You say, why are you making such a point of it? Well, they all die, folks. The reign of the king always ends. The governor eventually is gone. The president is turned over to a new president. Things don't always stay the same. God always gives a chance for his people to go one way or another, to prove who they are and where they are with God. The king is dead. The king is dead. Long live the Lord. Isaiah sees the Lord in the day, in the year that King Uzziah died. Do you see the Lord? The Isaiah of chapter 6 is Isaiah the man until verse 8. And we're going to see that as we go along. Then he asks God, what shall I do? And then he becomes Isaiah the prophet, as God gives him an assignment. But are we still believing that Obama or Bush, whether 41 or 43 or 45, I don't know if the 45 is coming or not at this point, as another Bush, Can any of these men save us? Absolutely not. We Christians know that. Our nation is in trouble, just like Israel was in trouble. So we need people like Isaiah to get into a position to where they can see the Lord, to get into a place of prayer where they can get their assignment from God to do what they're supposed to do in a wicked generation. You are living, my friends. This is not the America of the founding fathers. It's not been that for a long, long time. This is a different America. This is an ungodly nation now. This is not a Christian nation. Some say it never was. Regardless of that, this is a time for holy people to really get holy. It's time for God's people to get on their knees and their face before God and ask, what do you want me to do? Not just bless the nation. What do you want me to do to bless the nation? There are things you can do. There are things you and I can do to turn the tide. That you've got to get into a place of prayer. It's not just going to come to you. You've got to go after this. You can be a part of the solution instead of always talking about how bad things are. And I see this on Facebook all the time, every day. Oh, our nation's wicked. I just said it too, didn't I? Our nation's wicked and people are wicked and this decision was bad and that leader's no good. And it's all true. But I don't see what we're supposed to do. I don't hear people saying, here's what you should do. You should pray. Ask God where he wants you to speak. There's street corners all over this nation where you could go out and just raise your voice like a Noah, like an Isaiah, like a Jesus. You know, they didn't preach in the church. They preached on the street and they taught in the church. You preach the gospel out there. You teach the word in the church. I see a lot of word teaching. I don't see a whole lot of street preaching, and it's okay thing. It's an okay thing. We've thought that that day is past. Oh, the day of great success maybe in it is past, and so people don't want to do it because it's not fun anymore. But the day hasn't passed when we're supposed to go to the people. There's other ways to go to the people besides the street, but that's a good way. That's where the people are. Some of them congregate at a bus station or here or there. Why aren't you there? Raising up your voice, saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus will save you. You need to repent of your sins. There's something you could do. You say, but Isaiah was a prophet. Well, Paul says we can all prophesy. Uh-oh, I know that's controversial to some, but some who are listening to this. All right, we'll put Paul aside, but I don't really like putting Paul aside. Get before God. Let him make you holy. And ask him to give you messages from heaven. Isn't that what prophecy really is about? Getting God's message? Why, it's in the Bible. Sure, just preach that. Preach that message and ask God's Spirit to be upon you. You'll be a prophet like all the rest. Seek him. You'll see him by faith. As Isaiah actually saw something physical, you don't have to see something physical. Maybe you will. Probably not. That doesn't matter. You will see him when you seek him. He makes prophets, quote unquote, small p, all right, whatever, of those who seek him. No need to seek an office here. Seek him. No need to seek a title. We got too many titles. Too many people wanting to be top dog. Just ask God who you are. He'll tell you eventually. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Is that the Lord that you know? This high and lifted up Lord? There's a lot of false gods today, not just in the world, but they're in the church. They're in your pulpit and in mine. They're not very powerful gods, these gods, I hear. They're not very respected, these gods. They're kind of chummy. You know what I mean? They're kind of friendly guys. Well, wasn't Jesus a friend of sinners? Yeah, I understand that. But follow my train here. They do, these gods that I'm talking about, they do whatever people tell them to do. They're ordered around by their creation. We've twisted the faith message so much until our God becomes nothing more than a genie who does what we tell him to do. Hey, can your God say no? If he cannot say no, then your God is not the God of my Bible. And I have a New King James that will offend people too. Any Bible you say is going to offend somebody. I'm not worried about it. Our God, the God of the Bible, is a loving Father. He is a friend of sinners. He knows how to give good gifts, but not just any gifts at any time. His creation says, do this. Do this. In the name, you must do this. No. God doesn't have to do anything you tell him to do. He still expects and respects and loves humility in his people, an awareness of who they really are without him, which is nothing. Fear of the Lord. Isn't it still in there somewhere, the fear of the Lord? The beginning of knowledge? Knowledge has not begun in some of our churches. There's no fear of the Lord. Now, I know sometimes then the miracles would happen in the New Testament church. And we still have the New Testament church. There's no other testament that's come, by the way. When the miracles come, when the power comes, when something special happens in your church, oh, then you fear him. You should fear him just by reading the text of the Bible. You shall be holy because I am holy. Oh, that should make you afraid if you're living an unholy life. The first lesson we should be teaching our children is respect. Respect. And the first lesson that our Father wants to teach us is respect. We haven't learned it. He walked on earth, I know that. But he's high and lifted up, and he was high and lifted up then. People didn't get it, but he was. Yes, he lives in our heart, but he's high and lifted up anyway. We think that because he was humble, therefore he's to be humiliated in some way, and we're to take authority over him. Watch it, you authority people. He says, you are my friends, but what's that next phrase? If you do whatever I command you. What? Jesus is still commanding people in this New Testament age? I thought it was an age of love and grace and peace. Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I command you. I'm telling you what to do. You don't like that? There's a whole bunch of other folks that need to hear my gospel that will like it. They will serve him. And if you won't, because you're caught up in the liberation of mankind in our generation, you'll be lost. And those that will obey him, that will gladly say, rule over me, Jesus, they'll get to go in before you. Remember Peter's response? Huh? First time Peter ever saw a dynamic miracle from Jesus. What did he say? You remember that? Oh, God. Jesus, he didn't say, oh, God. But that's what he was feeling because he had seen God. In Jesus, he said, go away. Get out of here. I'm too bad. I'm too sinful. I know who I am. And you just, oh my, my. Oh, did he want Jesus? No, he wanted Jesus. He wasn't really saying go away. But when you get to the place where you really realize how filthy rotten you are in your sinfulness, and how wonderfully holy he is, there'll come a moment in your time when you say, Jesus, go, I don't deserve this. And you don't, and you never will. But you've got to come to that place. I don't deserve you. You are so holy, so other, so different. But that's not the God I'm seeing preached in the pulpits today. If you're connected to the true God, you're going to see yourself as poor, hopeless, helpless without him. And you literally cling to him every day of your life, afraid to go to the left or to the right. Not because he's going to zap you, but because his way is perfect, his way is good, his way is wonderful. And if you go those left or right ways, what's out there? Remember David? What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? These are the two things that Isaiah is going to see here in a little while. His own utter unworthiness before God, and God's wonderful holiness and power and greatness. When you see those two things together, that's a conflict. If you've never had the conflict, you need it. You need it. Maybe you need to renew it, review it. It was a good thing that you had. Keep the conflict. Viva la conflict. Amen. That's all I have time for today. So glad that you can join. Hope that you'll keep joining. You can subscribe to this podcast, and I hope that you will. Tomorrow we'll finish. No, we won't finish. We will continue on with Isaiah and the call on his life, and hopefully the call on your life too. Remember, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up.